Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The recent appointment of 10 additional district court judges in Dolphin House in Dublin has allowed five family courts to operate from there, including the Emergency Domestic Violence Court. And despite this, the system continues to be under pressure. Well, legal affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, Mary Carolyn, has been reporting from Dolphin House and she joins me on the line now. I'm also joined by the CEO of Women's Aid, Sarah Benson, and you're both welcome to the programme. Thank you for being with us. Mary, I want to talk to you first about what you've seen and what you've experienced over the past few months, because you have been writing about some of the cases at the family courts in Dolphin House, and we know there are restrictions for journalists like yourselves to make sure that the identities of the people who are using those courts are protected. So you might talk to us about what you're allowed to speak about and what you're not.
Well, the in-camera rule applies to these hearings as to every family law application. So essentially, bona fide members of the press can report these cases, but we can't publish any details that might identify the person involved. I try not to give details about number of children or ages of parties, for example, and certainly not locations.
Yes.
So it's essentially to try and get across what's happening within the courts and the nature of the applications. It's a very important issue, and what I've seen so far really discloses parallel universes, I believe.
Yeah, there's been some
sense of the way some people are living.
Some extraordinary stories emerging from those courts, which is what we really want to talk to you about today. I mean, only last weekend you were writing about a father who was seeking interim barring orders against two of his adult sons. So what was happening in that case?
Yes, that was a particularly sad case. It was heard by the court earlier this year, but I was writing about it in the context of just looking at the whole system of protection and interim barring orders in general. In that particular case, the man had actually come to court having fled his home that morning. He said he lives with his two sons. They're adults, and he said one has a serious psychiatric condition and the other has serious mental health issues, and they're frequently aggressive to him. But that particular morning, he said one had threatened to kill him and kicked him, and the other was trying to hold the other son back, but was also threatening the father. And the father said when he picked up his phone to call the guards, one of the sons grabbed it and the other was kicking him, and one was threatening to kill him, and he was absolutely terrified, and he ran out of the house leaving the door wide open, and came to the court, and he said he just couldn't take it anymore, that somebody's going to be, he used the word somebody's going to be murdered, and he said this had been happening frequently and he just didn't know what to do.
And people might be surprised to hear that that's not uncommon, that you'll have parents are in the family court seeking protection from their own children, often their own adult children.
Yes, it's not uncommon, and I have spoken to a number of the family court judges who are dealing with these type of applications, and I obtained some statistics from the family court office in Dolphin House in central Dublin, which deals with these applications, and it's shown that there's been an increase in them. Now, they don't split up the protection order and interim barring order applications in terms of exactly who is seeking them. And it would seem that most of them are sought by women against husbands or partners or former husbands and partners, and some men as well against their partners. The judges' observations and from lawyers I've spoken to, and indeed my own observations, are that the number of protection orders being sought by parents against aggressive and sometimes very violent adult children are on the rise. And there's some by grandparents too. They feature very regularly in these applications.
Can you explain to us the difference between the protection order and the barring order, and why you're seeing that people who are in these really difficult situations are often seeking protection orders as opposed to a barring order?
Yes, in terms of parents against adult children, protection orders apply when the person is in fear and they're very concerned, but they haven't actually been exposed to violence, but they are very concerned about a person's behaviour within or near them. Sometimes this applies to, for example, homeless adult children who come to the parents' home and stand outside and, for instance, shout and roar and demand drug money. So the parent or grandparent comes to the court and just says they're in fear and they can't take this anymore, and this kind of behaviour is, they're finding it very upsetting. And some of them are also very concerned about the impact on perhaps younger children who are in the home. So it's in those contexts. Now, some of these parents who seek protection orders have actually been subject to aggression and violence, but they don't want their adult child made homeless. A lot of them report that the adult child has drug addiction issues, severe mental health issues. Some parents are actually caring for adult children with perhaps intellectual disabilities that come in certain cases with a level of aggression and violence. So it's very, very difficult mm-hmm. situation for these parents. And you constantly hear them saying, I don't want to do this, but I'm at my wit's end. I just don't know what to do anymore.
And that's what
there seems to be a dearth of services to support them.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Do you get the sense that this is very much a last resort for these parents and these families?
Yes, certainly that is very much a last resort, and some parents seem to have come up against this kind of behaviour for years before they actually come to court. And the judges I spoke to, who obviously are dealing with these situations day in, day out over years, are saying that's what happens. And sometimes it's just parents are getting on in life. They're a bit older. They may have health issues and they just literally can't cope with this kind of behaviour. And some of the behaviour is extremely distressing and frightening. And some judges have talked about situations where they're dealing with parents or grandparents who have drug dealers coming to their doors. They're trying to get payment for debts owed by the adult children. And if the parent gives any money, the drug dealers keep coming around, and there can be violence in those situations where they're kicking in doors or threatening the parent. And some of the judges were saying that that can be accompanied in the home by adults, or by violence by the adult children in the home as well. So it's a perfect storm of, it's just incredibly difficult situations for people.
And very distressing, but really important that we hear about these cases as well. I want to move now to the majority of cases that you have seen at Dolphin House, because they involve women who are seeking protection from husbands or partners. And this is where we'll need Sarah Benson to speak to us in just a moment. But Mary, there was one in particular I was struck by. You wrote about this recently. You had a distraught young mother who was appealing to the judge in the court to help get her baby back from her former partner. Can you outline that case for us as you saw it?
Yes, that was quite a recent one. The young woman was absolutely distressed when she appeared before Judge Gerard Furlong just a couple of weeks ago. And she said that she had been in a relationship with her former partner up to very recently, and that she'd given birth to their child, and she was in court looking for a protection order. She said that she had been subject to a lot of violence during the relationship, and she said that she had the man had systematically abused her since she had given birth. And she said that the abuse got worse and worse, and for instance that he wouldn't let her go outside during hot summer days last year because she was black and blue with bruising on her arms. and he said she he had also assaulted her in front of another child of his, and that child had become very distressed and was pleading with him to stop. And the woman said that she had left him quite recently, and she's living in a hotel with the young baby. And she was in court. She said he had turned up outside the hotel a number of times, and he had turned up the previous night, and he had taken the child. And she was in a desperate state. She was appealing to the judge to help her get the baby back. She said she'd gone to the Gardaí that previous night, and she said that she had a few drinks taken. She didn't elaborate on that. And she said that the Gardaí had told her a few hours later that they'd located the child, and the child had food and nappies and advised her to come to court. And Judge Gerard Furlong was dealing with that case, and he said that because the couple were not married, the woman was sole custodian of the child. The man hadn't sought any access or guardianship orders. So what the man had allegedly done in taking the child was tantamount to kidnapping. Mm-hmm. And he made directions that would assist in getting having Gardaí get the child returned to her. And the judge said he'd be baffled if that didn't happen that day. But the woman was incredibly distressed during that hearing.
Well, Mary, stay with us, because I do want to bring in Sarah Benson at this point, CEO of Women's Aid. And Sarah, that case that Mary has just outlined, it gives us a sense of the terror and the fear and the distress that women are in. And many of the people who are using this court system at Dolphin House are women. And this is very common. That type of story is very common, and your organisation are very well aware of that.
Yes, and thanks for having me on today and listening to Mary. I think it's such an important opportunity to actually explain what happens in family law cases, in the most acute cases where you're talking about abuse and violence. And these are people from all across our communities, and you can just hear the layers of pain and distress that families go through, that, you know, that parents go through, that partners, ex-partners go through, and specifically also that children go through, that are being channeled through the family law courts. And Women's Aid have a full-time drop-in service in the Dolphin House family law courts. And we also have the National Free Phone Helpline, which, you know, acts as a referral point to all the local services around the country. And I think one of the things that strikes me listening is, you know, we are aware that, you know, we have five courts now currently operating in Dolphin House, all dedicated to family law. But all around the country, we have district courts which are doubling up with criminal matters and also then having to deal with all of these issues as well. And so at the moment, you know, there are steps underway to look at reform of the family law system. It is absolutely creaking. And when you see the human cost of what's going through those courts, you know, you just can't stress how urgent it is to continue to investing in this system, which is affecting all aspects of our community, all people.
Mm-hmm. But that change that has happened and the way Dolphin House is operating there, I know it's very, very busy, but in comparison to the services that are available elsewhere in the country, is it working in your view?
It is definitely an improvement, as I think Mary herself has reported. You know, we have five courtrooms, but in some cases you might only have two or three operating. The appointment of additional judges was extremely important, but, you know, the momentum must be maintained, you know, for every judge, you know, to kind of run a courtroom and also to provide all the administrative support data systems. You require an additional six staff in every case. And there's great ambitions there for the court service to keep on developing, but it needs to be resourced and that momentum needs to be kept up, because the family law courts were heaving before COVID, and then COVID really created an exacerbating situation. So you can still have situations where somebody gets a protection order, which is a temporary order, but it may be 6 months before the actual full hearing of their case. We are currently commissioning a really significant significant research project with Trinity College Dublin, specifically looking at that issue of custody and access. And the case that Mary mentioned just there is an extremely distressing one. But it is a case where somebody, where the father in that instance did not already have guardianship or access. Had he, that would have been an incredibly complicated process. And so we've commissioned research to look specifically how adult and child survivors of domestic abuse are being attended to in custody and access proceedings, because risk permeates this entire system.
Mm-hmm. And how does the housing crisis play into all of this, Sarah?
In so many ways, it's so acute. I mean, the example, which would be the minority, but still a significant, area of concern, where you have adult children still at home with increasingly aging parents. You know, we hear those stories again on our helpline and through our drop-in service, and the housing crisis, where you have adults living with other adults with all of those other attending issues of sometimes mental health, addiction, create really acute situations. And then for women who are trying to escape a domestic abuse situation, the housing crisis has created a massive bottleneck in the sense that, you know, sometimes women are going back. Women will access perhaps refuge, which is only a short-term solution. But there's issues around the fact that our Housing for All strategy does not recognise domestic violence as a specific factor in homeless. It isn't attended to consistently at local authority level. And so, you know, where do you go if you've nowhere to go? And, access to rent supplements and things like that, there's been improvements there. But access to supply, affordable supply, to get out of a dangerous situation, you know, it's absolutely tragic that that is still a factor, but yeah, it very much is.
And Mary, do you see that at first hand in the courts, you know, when there is an attempt being made to reach a resolution where everybody can be safe, that it's often the housing crisis that is the barrier or the block in reaching a point where this can be successfully resolved?
Yes, absolutely, Claire. And I mean, this whole situation needs a multi layers of responses from across government departments, including housing, including health, because mental health issues and drug addiction feature so much in a lot of these cases. But in situations where the dispute is between a woman and her partner, I have done several cases where women are in abusive situations for years in a home with children, and they're effectively living separate lives, and they're living unimaginably terrible lives, really. I think most people would see where they're being subject to emotional abuse at the very least, or, you know, physical abuse in some situations, and they literally feel that they have nowhere to go. And that is a reality for a lot of them. They have nowhere to go. And you would just wonder, kind of, these festering situations that they could lead to dreadful tragedies, as we have seen in the criminal courts. And it's a mounting problem.
Well, Mary, thank you very much for telling us about what you've witnessed in the family court at Dolphin House. Mary Carolyn is legal affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, and Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid. Thank you both. And for anyone who might be affected by anything we just discussed, you can contact Women's Aid at 1800 341 900. That's 1800 341 900. And you can also find information about helplines by visiting rte.ie/helplines.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.